Bibles and turn to Book of Acts chapter 2. We told you this week we're going to talk about speaking in tongues. Decided to do something non-controversial. Speaking in tongues, because we're in spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and chapter 14 and all, and this is a lot of chapter 14, and instead of, I thought we'd just do specifically that subject instead of just jumping around to chapter 14. We'll be in chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 14 later, but Acts chapter 2, speaking in tongues, start of verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were all sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because they heard every man speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man speak in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Pergia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they're all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this?" All right, let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about tongues. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it has the answers. Thank you we don't have to try to live by experience or by feeling or by the wisdom of man, but we can look in what your word says. As you said about your word, we can be thoroughly furnished into all good works and have all we need, Lord, to understand. And I pray your spirit would be our guide and lead and guide us into all truth, as you said he would. And that you'd speak to us now and help us to see, rightly divide the word, show me your right way, and to help all of us to understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Tongues are languages. We touched on that the other week. It's vital you understand that. Speaking in tongues, that phrase is used a lot. Understand the word tongue is used in the Bible for language. So when you say speaking in tongues, it's much more mysterious and you get the doctrine wrong just because you don't understand. It's talking about languages, and I'll show you that right here in this passage, and we'll see several others. Verse 4, "And they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 6, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because they heard every man speak in his own language." Okay, it's the same word. The word's used interchangeably. The word tongue is, it's used in the Greek, it's used for the physical organ, but more common than that, it's used for the word, for languages. It starts in Genesis. You can see every man spake after Tower of Babel. It says they would be scattered and they would speak in their own tongue. And so when someone says speaking in tongues, they're saying speaking in languages. Okay, it's important to understand the whole doctrine, because the word means language. And of course, we see the great instance of all speaking in tongues is Pentecost. And we see immediately it is languages. And so point number one, speaking in tongues equals speaking in unknown languages. Okay? So you get a gift miraculously and you can speak in an unknown language here. And we see that. Number two, speaking in tongues is a sign for the unsaved. Speaking in tongues is a sign for the unsaved. We'll be back in Acts 2, but we'll go back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 14. In the Bible, you have sometimes, and it's really nice when it's like this, you have declarative verses that just say, this is something. So when you're looking to understand a doctrine, you can just find a declarative verse, and you know that verse says that. You can just start there, because the Bible will say, this is this. For example, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, you got a declarative verse, you know, God created the universe at the start. Now, you can argue about the gap theory and the day-age theory and all the different theories about exactly how God did it. Did he use a Big Bang or anything? But you know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, another verse like that is John 3:16. You know God loves the world. God loves everybody. because for God so loved the world. It's just a verse that just says it. So the rest of the time, we know that's true. We know that's, we can start there, because God loved the entire world and he gave his son. And there's several things like that. And fortunately, in tongues, we have got just a really plain, really thorough, really clear statement verse about tongues. And it's 1 Corinthians 14. And it's a real clear verse about it. And we'll start at verse 20, but it's verse 22. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children. In other words, be innocent. And in anger towards people, be innocent. But in understanding, be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. For prophecy serveth to them that believe not, serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So, prophecy we see, prophecy is for them which believe. It's for believers. Prophecy is not for the unsaved. Prophecy is for believers. But it says tongues, okay? Let's read together. Who are tongues for? Are they for saved or unsaved? Ready? Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them which believe, but for them which believe not. Who are tongues for?
Unsaved.
Okay, it says that. It's real clear there. So, now, understand, I have hung around a lot of Pentecostal and charismatic people, and I've been with them when they spoke in tongues many times. I've gone to charismatic church services, and I've had prayer meetings and prayed with different people, and they started speaking in tongues. I've been around them. I'm friends with them. It's not a fight that I fight with them. My battles with Satan and with the world and with the devil and with trying to win folks to Christ. I don't debate with Christians very rarely. I'm too busy trying to reach the unsaved to debate with Christians much. However, those and they've told me multitude of times. Are you full of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues? And they'll say, speaking in tongues is a sign that you're full of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's not what the Bible says. Bible says it's not a sign for those who are saved to know they're full of the Holy Spirit. It's a sign for the unsaved. Okay? It's just the wrong purpose. And it's an experience that just trumped doctrine. It's a strange thing to me that when you talk to somebody who believes in speaking in tongues, and we'll get more into what I believe about speaking in tongues. I do believe you can if you need to, but they'll go to Acts 2, but they'll never go to the chapter in the Bible that tells you everything about speaking in tongues. They very rarely go to 1 Corinthians 14. Because everything they're doing, it tells them not to do. And we'll show you a bunch of those verses. But it's very clear. It's for the unsaved. And the verse before gives the context. Verse 21, it is in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Talking about Israel. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Isaiah. Let me take you back to Isaiah in chapter 20. And I got the wrong verse written down here. You know what? I got the wrong verse written down. And so let's say in 1 Corinthians 14, because it's quoting from the Old Testament, okay? I was going to take you to the verse that's quoting here, but we'll just read the verse here in the New Testament. Verse 21. It's in Isaiah, and I think it's chapter 20 something, and it's verse 14. There you go. Thanks. All right. I wrote the wrong verse down. It's what you do get when you write sermons when you have a fever. And Isaiah 28 and verse 11. There we go. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherein they may cause the weary to rest and refreshing, but they would not hear. So God says, I'm going to speak to my people, real simply, with different tongues. And what that's going to be a sign of is that I'm done with them. See, the Bible came, and the Bible was written in the Old Testament in Hebrew. And the Jews knew that their language, they were God's people, and they had the Hebrew scriptures, and the Word of God is in Hebrew. And if you want to become a Jewish person or a proselyte, a converted into Judaism, if you weren't Hebrew, you wanted to do that. Everything was Hebrew and Jewish. But to speak the things of God in a different language was, you can't do that. Hebrew is God's language for that. And God said, you know what? I'm going to show you that, you know what? I'm done because you're so hard. I'm going to move on to the Gentiles, the other people, because I'm going to start speaking and you're going to hear the wonderful works of God in their language. And then you'll know. Then you'll know that the gospel is now for the whole world and that I have said it's not the time of the Jews anymore. It's the time of the Gentiles. And by the way, we're in the time of the Gentiles. The Bible says that until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We're in the church age, not the Jew, not the Hebrew age. Jews can get saved, but what they do is they get saved like anybody else and become a member of a church instead of us having become a member of a nation because we're not underneath that anymore. God changes things. And so we see that it's prophesied that God would bring a new languages, and these languages would declare to those who didn't believe, which were the unbelieving Jews, that the gospel was now to the whole world. And back to Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now let's see what's happening at Pentecost, because it's an interesting thing. Pentecost is the big feast of the year. People who were Hebrews, Hebrew is a nationality, Jewish by religion, they were from all over the world, and they were all in Jerusalem right then. And here are the apostles praying and the other disciples in the upper room, and all of a sudden the power of the Holy Spirit comes, and all these people from all different countries, Arabians, Mesopotamian, and Egyptians, and everybody from all over the world were all right there. And now, boom, Pentecost comes, and here is the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out. And now in their native languages, while they're speaking, the apostles are, they're hearing them in their original language. It's this sign that was prophesied that we're saying that the gospel is open to the whole world. You can see this real clearly, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And it was noise abroad. And they were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, the wording here is very interesting if you look at it carefully. It says, every man heard them speak in his own languages. In 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to read, you're supposed to have an interpreter. And some have the gift of interpretation in tongues. Actually, strangely enough, they were hearing, they might have been speaking, they were Galileans, it says specifically, they were probably speaking Greek. That's what the Bible was written in. That's the common language everybody was in. However, every man heard them speak in his own language. So in other words, if I was speaking in tongues right now, Charlie would hear me in Chinese. And the Samoans would hear me in Samoan. And the Spanish people would hear me in Spanish. And the Kentucky people would hear me in Southern. And so we'd all hear in our own language, and we'd all hear, that's how it worked. It actually, it's kind of strange. They were probably speaking in Greek, but every man heard him in his own language at the same time. And he'd say, he's speaking Egyptian. No, he's not. He's speaking Mesopotamian. No, he's speaking Arabian. What are you guys talking about? And so, verse 6. Now when this was a noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because they heard every one of them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, not all these that speak Galileans. How hear we every man in our own tongue, there's that word tongue for language, wherein we were born, Parthian, Medes, and all these different people from all over the world. They were all amazed and says, what does this mean? And so they did that. Now, I am not 100% sure they spoke in one language and everybody heard it in their own language. It looks like that's how it's worded. Most of the stuff I'm telling you today, I'm absolutely sure of that right there. This disciple might have been speaking Arabian, this disciple might have been speaking another language, but it looks to me like every man is hearing in their own language. And I'm about 90% sure that's what it's saying there. And so God was speaking that. God was speaking to unbelieving Jews that the gospel was open to all. God was speaking to the unsaved Jews that the gospel was open to all. No wonder in the middle of this sermon that Peter preached in verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we got a whosoever. Everybody is open to everybody. And so somebody says, well, no, it's an evidence that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were all assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. These people were filled with the Holy Ghost. They didn't speak in tongues. It's just simply not true. People say that's the evidence. No, the evidence of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, fruit is evidence in the Bible. By their fruit shall you know them. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You got some guy who says he speaks in tongues and he's full of the Holy Spirit, but he doesn't have love and joy and peace. No, he's not. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and faith and gentleness, goodness and meekness and all those things. The evidence is what the Bible says it is, not what somebody says that evidence is. And so we see that. So they're speaking the wonderful works of God in all these different languages. Number three, tongues were misused in Corinth. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians is going to rebuke them for how they use tongues. It's going to rebuke them. And so, on verse 23, 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians 14, verse 22, it's a sign for those that don't believe. Verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say ye are mad? How can somebody that read that today and not realize that's what people do in churches? I've been in the churches, and I go in there, and everybody's... And you know what you think? What's going on here? Are you crazy? It's not edifying anybody. And the Bible says that's going to happen. It's strange that a church would do that when the Bible says, aren't people going to think that? It says not to do that, of course. They were misused. They were doing them wrong. Tongues completely wrong all over there. Continue on. But if all prophecy in there come in one that believeth not or is unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judge of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. In other words, you tell his secrets about him and you prophesy about him. Then he'll understand and come under conviction. We see that they used it wrong. It was all mixed up. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, that all things be done unto edifying. They're misusing the gift of tongues because they were doing it for their own selves. And all of the church people were speaking in tongues. Everybody was doing all this, and the service is chaotic, and nobody is being edified. And what good is it if you're speaking the wonderful works of God in whatever language? You're speaking the wonderful works of God in this miraculous language over there in the corner, and you're going, and the rest of the church isn't being edified. And there's no unbelievers there that are Jews to say, oh, they're speaking the wonderful works of God in my original language, and I'm from Greece, and they're speaking it in Greek, even though, and so I understand that. You're using it for nothing. And so, I think that's exactly what happens today, by the way. Are they really speaking in tongues? I don't know. Corinth, they were speaking in tongues, and it was all wrong, and it wasn't being used right. And it was self-edifying. It was disorderly, and God says, don't do that. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as he is in all the churches. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Next, we're not supposed to have confusion at all, but order. The unsaved will think you're crazy. You don't abuse the gift. Next, you are not to speak in tongues unless you have an interpreter. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. And if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So somebody's got to be there to understand what he's saying in a different language. And there's a gift of interpretation. So if he's just going to speak in tongues and speak in tongues, he says, don't do that. So let's say we're at this morning service. Somebody gets up and they jump up and they start saying, blah, 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 Kawasaki Suzuki. And so they all start talking. I would say, do we have an interpreter here? And if nobody said, okay, I have to get some interpretation, I can interpret that, then I'd say, okay, sit down. We don't have an interpreter. The Bible says, do not speak in tongues without an interpreter. Pretty simple. And that's what it says to do. And so that's the way we handle that. And so if somebody, if all of a sudden somebody did that and somebody interpreted it and said, this is what it said, I'll never forget my pastor's Greek teacher. He was fluent in Greek and he was in a charismatic church and just being trouble for whatever reason. And he decided that he jumped up and started speaking in Greek. And he quoted basically John 3:16 in Greek. And somebody jumped up and said, I have the interpretation of that. And they gave, the Lord said that we're all going to have a great victory this year or something, and told him some interpret it. And the guy said, yeah, that's what I figured. And you got to have an interpreter and the gift of interpretation in order to get that in a church service. In other words, you don't just start speaking in tongues. The unsaved will think you're crazy. You get in disorder. It's not edifying anybody else. It's called the least of gifts. You want to prophesy because that'll help the whole church in that situation. Next, not everybody has the gift of tongues. Not everybody has the gift of tongues. We can read a lot of verses. but we'll read the end of chapter 14 here. End of chapter 12, I'm sorry. All of chapter 12 says you're all different parts of a body. Everybody doesn't have the same gifts. Verse 4 through 6 says that, but at the end we'll... verse 28 of chapter 12, and God has set some in the church, first the apostles, second the prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet the best gifts. And so, no, everybody doesn't have the same gift. Everybody's not going to speak in tongues. It's not an evidence of fullness of the Holy Spirit. So everybody's not going to do that. So we see everybody doesn't have the gift of tongues. Next, it is better in the church to speak in a known language. Chapter 14. It is better in the church to speak in a known language. Verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Pretty simple there. If you can say five words in a language people understand, it is better for the church than you say, I'm speaking in tongues, and nobody understands what you're saying. But that's what happens in churches, even today. By the way, nothing new under the sun. The same problems in Corinth, the same things having in a church today. Who does that? Misunderstanding the gift, using it for personal edification, having chaos with it, and not anybody understanding what you're saying. And so we see that. Next, when a gift is not needed, it goes away. Let me take you back to chapter 13, of course, between chapter 12 and 14. Chapter 13. And let's see here. Let's go down to verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge, it referred to in chapter 12, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is complete, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. It says tongues are going to cease, knowledge, the word of knowledge is going to vanish away, prophecy is going to vanish away, and all those things in this chapter. Let me just explain to you. We said there's three different groups of gifts. I need one of you guys, my voice, I'm going to need I'm going to need some lemon. Mark, you got any money on you? Yeah. Can you go to Safeway and grab a lemon? I need some lemon for my voice. It's going to last to the next sermon. And so that'd be great if you can go. You have a cough drop or something? What do you got? What do you got? What is it? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, get it. I'll need it today at some point. I don't want to get you sick. Thanks. Awesome. Yeah, my voice is not doing well, and I'm early here. Good. I'm ready to go. I'll tell you, I'll tell you a funny story about that. A guy was, he used to always put a lifesaver in his mouth, and his lifesaver took him the same amount of time. Every time to dissolve, he put it in his cheek. And he knew his sermon would be done to finish up when that lifesaver disappeared all the way. And it said it was on schedule, about 45 minutes or 35 minutes or whatever he preached. Lifesaver disappeared. He knew it was time to close out his message. And one day he reached in his pocket, popped it in, and he noticed everybody's getting kind of tired and just kind of staring at him, looking at their watches. And he popped a button that was in his pocket, in his cheek, and it wasn't dissolving. And he never got there. And after about an hour and 15 minutes, he realized something's wrong with his lifesaver. And let me explain the spiritual gifts here. Why I try this. I learned to do this when I was chewing tobacco. And pinch between your cheek and gum. And gifts are simple. There's three different kinds of gifts. And we saw there's administrative gifts. And we saw the charisma gifts, that they're the miraculous gifts. And we hit these different things. It's real simple. A gift is not for you to edify yourself or to feel good about yourself or to say you're more spiritual than somebody else. A gift is to help people. It's to show a sign. It's to do something miraculous. And some of the gifts are not supernatural. The gifts of helps, the gifts of administration. Those are gifts that an unsaved person can have. The gift of giving. Those are Ephesians 4 has some lists of gifts. And Romans chapter 12 has a list of gifts. And 1 Corinthians 12 has a list of gifts. And some of them are supernatural. 1 Corinthians 12 is a supernatural. Charisma is the Greek word gifts. It's really simple. When a gift isn't needed anymore, it goes away. Things change in the Bible. We call them dispensations. And they're fairly common. For example, let me take you to Luke. Luke chapter 16. In verse 16, it says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that day, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Okay, so we have the law and the prophets, but when John came, the law and the prophets ended. Now it's the kingdom of God. Okay, the Bible says they're dispensations, the Bible word. The dispensations come. And so when you have these things, you don't have anybody. So when the scripture was completely written, you don't have anybody need to write scripture anymore. When Jesus fulfilled the law, you didn't need to be under the law anymore. And so you see these things. It's really simple. Gifts are for a purpose. If God needs them, and so you have two sides of this thing, and I've spent plenty of time with both sides. My passion as a young Christian was the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I talked to a lot of people about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. And I listen to both sides, and I don't really exactly line up with either side. Some are very dispensational and think there's no spiritual gifts anymore, and all that's gone away. And other side does the things that it would be a Pentecostal church that where they have people rolling the aisles and speaking in tongues and all those things. The Bible's right, not one side or the other, okay? It's real simple. If God needs a spiritual gift, it's there. If it's not needed, it goes away. It's that simple. It's really not complicated. Tongues were to show the Jews that the gospel is the whole world now. But if I go to one of my missions trips this year, and I'm wherever, and I'm in Haiti this year, and somebody needs to get saved, and they're going to die the next day, and God needs that person to get saved that day, and God needs me to be able to speak in Creole suddenly, mystically, or I speak in English and they understand in Creole, God can do that today. Okay, if God needs that. In a church I was in before, they had a man who didn't speak any English. He was Chinese. He came forward to get, they guessed, to get saved. And the soul winner took him aside and said, do you understand English? He said, no. He just shook his head, no. And so he said, I don't know what to do. So he took out the Bible. He read in the verses. He read the first verse. You understand? The guy nodded. Didn't speak good like English. Gave him the whole plan of salvation. He said, you want to pray with me? The guy nodded. He said, okay, pray. And he prayed in English. The guy prayed in Chinese. The guy understood it. Every step of the whole thing, he understood everything he was saying. He got done. He said, how are you understanding me? And the guy says, I don't understand. He didn't understand. He couldn't understand then. He lost his ability to understand. Why? Because God needed to save that guy that day. And so if I need to prophesy, and God needs to tell the future about something, God can do that today. Is it needed? Maybe not. A lot of the spiritual gifts were to give you wisdom until the scripture came. because the scripture wasn't there, and you had to have apostles, for example, to say, here's what God says, because you didn't have the Bible to say, here's what God said. And so whatever gift needs done, I do not believe that God is limited today. Whatever God needs to do, he can do. God can raise the dead today. God can heal somebody today. God can do whatever he does. Now, most of the spiritual gifts, just as I think 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us, began to disappear as the scripture came, because they were filling in. And if you let me read that to you, back in 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, some of the stuff we already know, and we prophesy in part, that fills in the gap. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. We prophesy in part, prophecy will be done away with. The Bible says, what is perfect? Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are right, making wise is simple, and so forth. So God says, I'm going to do these things. You'll need these things to show the Jews for a while, to take the gospel around the world, for Pentecost, for all these things. But eventually, you won't need that sign. Now, we have an unbelieving Jew come in here and say, nope, it's only for the Jews and it's only for Hebrew. We need to speak in tongues for the guy. Fine. God can do that today. I do not believe that God can't do spiritual gifts today. You limit the Holy One of Israel, I believe, when you do that. I think God can raise the dead and heal the sick and do whatever needs to be done. God still is in the miracle business, but it's not a show-off business. It's for a purpose. It's for a reason. And speaking in tongues was for a very specific reason for the unsaved. I have never met anybody hear somebody speak in tongues and want to be saved. Most unsaved people, when they hear people speak in tongues, think they're weird. That's what they think. And you don't have an interpreter, and what's the purpose? And they say, well, it's a prayer language. Okay, show me that in the Bible. It just doesn't say that. That it's a mystical prayer language. And so, if I hear somebody speaking in tongues, well, if somebody interrupts our service to speak in tongues, we're going to stop them because the Bible says we're supposed to do things decently and in order. Okay? But if somebody wants to go speak in tongues, I'm not going to get on the case. I'm not going to... If some of the Christian wants to do that, fine, they can do that. I just don't think it's the same. I think it's being misused, just like it was in the Corinthian church. So we see the purpose of it here. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. But when a gift isn't needed anyway, it goes away. And so we don't always need all these gifts. And so, good. All right, questions. Give you a chance to chew my Mentos here. We all understand it. How many don't understand it, but it sounded good, whatever I said? How many understood? Okay, good. Good. Who is it for? Unsaved. Good. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Now we're going to start just going through the chapter. Now the whole chapter is going to make a lot more sense because we just explained that. We're going to start reading through it and help you understand the chapter. It'll be easier and very fast to teach 1 Corinthians 14 once we understand the purpose of tongues. Chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And this is talking about people who are doing it in the middle of church for no reason. That's the context here. But he that prophesied edified the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh the tongues. Except ye interpret, that the church may receive edifying. And I, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you, except I speak to you either by revelation, or by my knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter the tongue by the tongue, words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye speak unto the air. Follow? Y'all follow what's saying here? Okay, good. That's exactly what we're saying. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, none of them without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, what shall it be to him that speaketh barbarian, him that speaketh shall be barbarian unto me? Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, to him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I'll pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. It's all useless unless you understand what's being said. Even if you're speaking in tongues yourself, if you don't understand what you just said, it doesn't do any good. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I'd rather speak with tongues, with the men of other tongues. Verse 21, I will speak to this people, yet they will not hear me, saith the Lord. And the tongues are for a sign to them that believe not. Verse 23, if therefore the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come one of the unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you're crazy? Verse 26, how is it, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done to edifying. But if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, at the most by three, and that by course. That means one after the other, in order, in turn. And let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two and three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, that all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For the God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is in all the churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Come ye the word of the Lord out of you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, covet to prophecy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. So, you see here, it was just a bunch of people edifying themselves. The church was chaotic. The church was a crazy order. And they just said, let's just get this in order. Let's do it. Line them up. If somebody needs to speak in tongues, make sure you have an interpreter, and then one after the other, not all at the same time. If somebody's going to prophesy, have them come up and prophesy. But everything is to be done to help the church. Nothing is for show off. Nothing's for chaos. Nothing is disorder. Everything is done decently and in order. And we'll keep those spiritual gifts and use them right. All right, and we'll get a little bit of what we read just a second ago. Next week, we'll finish up chapter 14 with the women and other things there. And so now we got the whole chapter done, almost. So, all right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. Thank you that you give us some answers. Thank you that we can understand tongues. And Lord, if we do ever need that, then I pray we'd have it. And Lord, use us in a powerful way. And let these things be done for their purposes, to help people and to edify the church and to reach the lost. Please, Lord, give us wisdom in your scripture and wisdom as we serve you. Bless the service to follow and meet among us and speak to us in a powerful way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.